Welcome to The Card Text, an unofficial mini-podcast about Marvel Champions at the LCG. We cover rules discussions regarding gameplay and aim to help fans of the game better understand the inner workings of their favorite Marvel card game. Hey everyone, quick note before this starts, had to cut in some corrections for accuracy in regard to the term put into play. It sounds funny, so be sure to laugh. So, today we're going to be talking about, for the podcast, we're going to be talking about keywords, and I guess what I'm going to term player bandwidth. It's like just how much an average player can handle in terms of keywords and interactions and things like that, but I think we're going to focus on keywords in general. So, opening question posed to you two. Which scenario did you feel had the most new keywords present? Which of the five villains in the Rise of Red Skull, which do you think had the most keywords?
So that you're aware, I'm answering this question without actually having played Red Skull.
Okay.
So this is going to just be like a shot in the dark of which ones do I think have the most. I'm going to guess, Isola or Taskmaster that I... No, I'm going to guess Red Skull.
Okay, this is Red Skull. Scott?
I've only played up to Taskmaster at this point. And out of those three, definitely Taskmaster. Just about every single card in his encounter deck has a keyword on it or gives something a keyword.
That's absolutely right. Taskmaster has a total of 9 instances of the new keywords. Everybody else has below that. I think 2 is the lowest. You got it right? So rules news, Quiver did get nerfed. You now have to shuffle after you use the effect on Quiver. And that was brought to us by La Mano de Thanos podcast. They did an interview with Bog, so sad news. Zola's main scheme, the test counters, will be removed from play when you advance to the next stage. So they don't remain on the main scheme. The Hulk ally who has a dash for a thwart cannot thwart on the Red House side scheme for Red Skull. And the Sleeper Awakened side scheme, it cannot be defeated. Any abilities that trigger off that defeat will just not happen. So we want to start with contrasting core keywords versus Rise of Red Skull keywords.
I feel like even with Red Skull, I've noticed just a lot of questions about the core keywords, more than I've seen for the new keywords. The new keywords seem to be, with a couple exceptions, there's a couple timing things, but mostly people seem to just kind of get them in a way that they seem to not with the core ones. For example, with the new keywords, I guess, probably the one I've seen the most questions around is insight, because of possibility of minions
being put into play
versus being revealed and how that interacts with insight, which, you know, echoes to a lot of the questions that came early on with Claw and the Surge keyword, because he always puts the minion into place. As very, you know, a common situation is that you get a weapons runner. He has Surge, but then when that weapons runner comes into play, you don't execute the Surge because he
put into play
instead of being revealed. We have similar situations with Rise of Red Skull with minions that enter play from the side scheme effect or the treachery effect that could have insight keyword on them, have that same situation occur. But, you know, that's kind of this one case where we've seen questions versus, for example, with Retaliate. I feel like there have been so many questions about Retaliate from the start, time it was revealed. Like, when does Black Panther's Retaliate apply? Or, you know, under what situations does that happen versus what situations does... Oh, I think Overkill brings that up a lot. Or just the fact that Retaliate is attached to attacking. Attacking tends to be a thing that gets a lot of questions around it. Guard, similarly, it's attached to attacking. And attacking seems to be a thing that may be a more difficult concept within the game to grok. What exactly constitutes an attack and who is being attacked and under what circumstances those things are happening. Versus a lot of the newer keywords from the Rise of Red Skull are either fairly straightforward, like setup or permanent. There's not really a lot of nuance around those. And, you know, you have the ranged and the piercing, which are very targeted. They only apply in this one specific situation. And so while I have seen a few questions about them, there's not a lot of range to them. I guess ranged has the attack situation too, but it's because it's directly against retaliate, it just brings up a lot of retaliate questions again, right? When is the retaliate happening? It's interesting to me that it feels like the new keywords are a little bit simpler in that way. They're not as difficult to understand, it seems like to me, based on the questions being asked. It's not as nuanced questions, not as many. I don't know how that perspective reflects what you guys have seen.
I pretty much agree. I mean, it's like the core keywords you've got: guard, quick strike, retaliate, surge, uses, overkill. I mean, we've had questions about all of those, and yeah, they still come up. I mean, I think a lot of it is newer players coming into the game, but then yeah, when we get new interactions with new keywords, like the example of ranged and retaliate, that brings up questions about retaliate again, as you said. And yeah, I think the one other one that of the new keywords that I've seen a few questions on has been piercing and sort of the timing of exactly when that happens, which again, it comes back to that, the attack sequence and when is an attack actually happening, who's being attacked, what happens at what stages during that sequence. And I think that's partly because it isn't very well defined in the rules, or not as clearly defined as I certainly would like it to be.
Yeah, so for example, Crossbones gets piercing a lot, right? So if he was attacking Spider-Man and Spider-Man defends against it, Spider-Man's tough, he defends and ends up reducing the damage to zero because, you know, whatever happens, Crossbones deals 3 damage. His attack is 3. Spider-Man's defense is 3. The attack is 0 damage, but it has piercing. Would he lose tough from the piercing or not?
I don't think we ever got a response for exactly how the timing works. Like, even without the piercing, on top of that, piercing itself is going to be an added complication.
Right, because I feel like when that attack happens, you're taking no damage. So it's fairly reasonable to me that tough would probably not be removed, right? Because when you take when you would take damage, you're not actually taking damage, so that's not happening. But piercing is something that happens on an attack before dealing damage. So is kind of this idea is, before dealing damage, does that mean damage had to happen? Or is that just kind of a point in time? If damage doesn't happen, it's still an attack with piercing, so maybe it would still remove tough.
Yeah, it's really not clear. The wording on piercing is ambiguous. So yeah, it says an attack with piercing keyword discards any tough status cards from the target of the attack before dealing damage. And then like the help text is discard any tough status cards from the target before dealing damage. So it's that there's several steps to the attack sequence that lead up to the point at which damage is actually dealt. And yeah, any of those could be when piercing actually triggers. And that changes what happens in situations like when a hero with tough defends against an attack. Because if piercing occurs before the defense, then the hero is going to lose the tough status card. But at that point, you don't actually know that there's any damage going to be dealt. So it's probably the case that it triggers after defense, in which case the hero probably doesn't lose the tough because there's no damage being dealt, I think.
I would be inclined to do it that way if that situation turned up.
Because of the way it's worded, it's not clear.
It's that idea that Marvel Champions is a more casual game, and as a result, the rules are kind of more casual, which is fine as long as you're in those common situations. You can kind of figure out what's supposed to happen. But then you get into a weird situation, and that's where that casualness starts to bite you, is because you say, well, the rules were more technically written. It might be harder to figure out the basic cases, but we could actually figure out the complex ones too.
The Red Skull keywords, I think only 2 of them are really very interactive in the game, like Insight being the one and Piercing being the other, whereas all the other keywords are kind of very passive. And just, you don't really have to think about them too hard or do anything on the table.
It's fortunate that the two that particularly Setup and Permanent, I feel like, are kind of, you know, that yes, they are keywords, but they're kind of just there. They're not really, like you said, they're not interactive. They're not doing anything. Ranged actually is one that I feel like, yes, it's passive, but it's very specific in what it does. It feels to me like the kind of keyword that would be very easy to get lost. You know, it just seems like the kind of thing that you come back to a game, happen to have no ranged characters for a year. Then you come back and you play and you're like, oh, ranged. What does ranged do again? Not obvious. It's not like it's clear ranged. Obviously, if you're ranged, then you don't get retaliated against.
I think they did it pretty brilliantly, though, because they slapped it on Hawkeye, right? So, and a player's always going to be like, oh, I get this advantage. I'm definitely using that over and over again.
Yeah, and I'm not 100% sure if it shows up without reminder text anywhere.
I think it does mostly on some encounter cards. It doesn't have the reminder text, but I believe it's on Hawkeye's bow.
I think the reminder text is on Hawkeye's bow. I was looking at that earlier.
And yeah, with my playthrough of the Red Skull campaign, I was having to check the rulebook quite frequently. Not being able to remember what the difference between ranged and piercing is. Because conceptually, they sort of do very similar things, even though they're interacting with different parts of the game. I have seen a little bit since the release of Rise of Red Skull and Kang that people are feeling like we're getting too many keywords. And I think a large part of that is that so many of the encounter cards don't have the reminder text on. So, yeah, unless you get them really quickly, I think people are having to keep referring to the rule book to check what they mean. And so that's giving people the impression that there are too many. Card games in general, I mean, since Magic the Gathering, use keywords to simplify card text. Because otherwise you have to put the whole of what an effect does on the card each and every time you want to use that effect. And so it is inevitable that we will get more. And so I don't think that it's going to be the situation where you're not going to see any of these keywords again. And it's only if you go back and play Rise of Red Skull campaigns or scenarios that you're actually going to see piercing. I think we will see it in other scenarios in the future.
I mean, I think part of it to me is that I feel like piercing and insight are keywords that are probably going to just show up a lot. It kind of doesn't worry me in the same way. I feel ranged is one of those keywords, though, that could just so easy to just drop it. It's the one that worries me the most of what we currently have. And maybe it'll come up enough. I mean, as we go to Guardians of the Galaxy, there's a good chance that they'll have a lot of ranged weapons. And Rocket's probably going to have some ranged stuff, so maybe it'll still stick with it. But mechanically, it's not just any old ranged attack that should have ranged. It's specifically these very special long-distance attacks that should have it, and how many characters are going to fit into that category.
Right, I agree. We'll probably not see a whole lot of it unless it's needed on that character.
Whereas piercing feels like kind of a natural thing that they're just going to throw on encounters all the time. I think there's a reason that it is in Kang, that it gets repeated in Kang. With piercing and insight, both of them, I feel like those are just four things that are going to keep showing up. They're very natural, simple ways to challenge the players in things that they can get comfortable with.
Villainous as well, I think we'll see more of.
The text on Villainous is just like, it's a whole paragraph.
Yeah, but it's such a simple effect when you know what it does.
It feels like they had to like really elaborate. So Villainous is when a minion with the Villainous keyword activates, give it a face down boost card from the top of the encounter deck. When you resolve that minion's activation, turn the boost card face up and apply its boost icons to the minion's stats for this activation. If the boost card has a boost ability, resolve its effects. Discard the boost card after the activation. Help text is just, when this minion activates, give it a boost card.
One thing to talk about with Villainous is You have to be careful about which player cards interact with it and which don't, because not all of them do. I think there's currently four cards that could potentially interact with it. So the four are Attackrobatics, Foiled, Preemptive Strike, Target Acquired. So if we take Preemptive Strike, for example, when a boost card is turned face up while the villain attacks. So just because the minion is getting a boost card, it's not a villain. So Preemptive Strike doesn't interact with villainous. But on Attackrobatics and Target Acquired, they're worded when a boost card is turned face up and then you do something. So it's not specifying when a villain is activating. And yeah, the one I'm not sure about is Foiled. Again, I think it does interact with it. So that is Interrupt. When a boost card is turned face up during a scheme activation, cancel its boost icons. I suspect that that will count for minions scheming as well as the villain scheming. But yeah, it's not quite as clear as the others.
I think the challenge regarding something like Foiled is that, in particular, in the rules reference under activation, does not include anything about minions. Like the activation entry in the RRG has nothing about minions. As if the villain attacks or schemes, it is considered an activation. Specifies when that happens. During step two of the villain phase, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't say anything about minions there. Then, you know, some card abilities can cause it.
But minions also activate, right, after the villain? That's also considered an activation?
Yes. Minions engaged with a player activate one minion at a time during step two of the villain phase is under minion. It's just, like Scott, I think pretty sure that Foiled applies. Both the wording on the keyword suggests it, the minion entry suggests it. There's just that wrench, the activation doesn't mention it. You know, it's kind of like if I was going to look up Foiled, if I was reading Foiled, it says during a scheme activation, I'd be like, oh, activation. I'd go to the RRG, I'd look up activation, it'd say villain, and I'd be like, no. Just kind of that first step would be, does it apply? Oh, nope, doesn't apply. I don't think that's the actual rule. It's just an unfortunate side effect of the way that particular entry in the rules references.
This is a good segue to talk about Insight again, because as you talked about, when something with Insight is
put into play
versus when it is revealed is another problem, and that's evident because of the way the rules are laid out, right? You look in the rule book under the entry of reveal or when revealed, it doesn't specifically have a bullet that says, hey, when you put something into play, any keyword on it that triggers when it's revealed, you don't have to worry about that. And you could look at like three or four different places in the RRG and never specifies that, doesn't say it under put into play or in play, doesn't say it under reveal. And I think that is a problem with the rule book. Because people, when they read the rules for Red Skull, they thought that that entry on, I think it was a Taskmaster page, about how this doesn't happen, they thought that was a new rule. It was under Absorbing Man. When I put an environment card into play at the beginning of an Absorbing Man scenario, do I trigger the Surge keyword? No, the Surge keyword only triggers when the card it appears on is revealed. Putting a card into play is not the same as revealing a card. That could have easily been in the rules somewhere, right?
Yeah.
I think that would have been a good thing to have in the FAQ originally. It's certainly a question I've seen enough to feel like it is.
Can we talk about uses a bit? We haven't touched on that.
Uses is another one that's come up a lot with questions, particularly because of the loss of reminder text.
Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing that maybe throws some of the newer players for a loop is that there are cards like the Hawkeye Ally that say put four, I forget what it says, but it says something like put four arrow counters on Hawkeye when it enters play. Well, that isn't uses, but it's, you know, the same type of all-purpose tokens, and Hawkeye doesn't go away when they're all gone.
The reason uses is special, and I think the reason that it's confusing is because uses always has a parenthetical, because it tells you what the counters are. I think it's a nice, flavorful thing, but because you get used to seeing uses, you know, three medical counters when all the medical counters are gone, discard this. And then you see uses three medical counters. And it's very easy to think that that's a change, a rules change, right, for the card. Because you still have the thing in parentheses and it doesn't tell you to discard it. I think that's why uses gets that situation a lot as compared to other keywords. If you didn't go to the rules originally to see what uses actually means, then you just wouldn't, you don't know that you're, that that's part of the keyword instead of just part of the rules text, because it's not as clear as it is with some of the others.
I think the other thing I wanted to say about uses is that I think it only appears in the core in like three cards, right? The one you mentioned, God, what is it called? Med team? Tac team? Surveillance team. Two of these cards are terrible, so you never really use them. The only other one is web shooters, which is where you see it mainly. And it does have the help text on web shooters as well, right? I believe it does, yeah. And Quick Strike, I think similarly, Quick Strike is another card, or another keyword, sorry, where you only see it on the Nemesis minion of Spider-Man. And then like three other cards that two of which are also Nemesis minions. And the other one is on the Mess of Things minion that you may or may not throw into your game. And then when you hit the Rise of Red Skull box, all of a sudden you see all this Quick Strike. I think there's like 5 to 10 minions with Quick Strike. None of them have the help text. It feels like they totally have the space too on these other cards, right? If you look on some of the minions that have it in Rise of Red Skull, there's plenty of space on there to add that. So I don't know if they were trying to save on ink or... Right? I mean, there's no reason not to put it there.
I mean, I think there is a tendency to, once a keyword has been in print for about a release or two, then they just stop writing reminder text for it.
Oh, okay. So it was on, I think you said it was on Scorpion from Mess of Things, Baron Zemo, and one other, Vulture.
Those are the only three before Rise of Red Skull. It's on Crossfire, which is Hawkeye's nemesis in Rise of Red Skull.
But you agree that, like, most players, even if you do play regularly, are not going to see that help text on those, all of those cards from the core set, right? You're more than likely going to see it in Red Skull.
It could easily be the first time someone sees the keyword. At the same time, I think a lot of the confusion that I've seen around Quick Strike, the two things. First is that it only happens when it engages your hero, which, right, whole hero versus alter ego confusion. Every time I read the word hero, it really means hero form. My identity in hero form. If that's not the situation, it doesn't apply. There's that side of it. And then there's the engages. If you go back to the Insight and the Surge example, right, those don't happen when the minion is
put into play.
But he still engages you, so he still gets to Quick Strike. And that distinction, I think, is also something that's not immediate. And not having the help text there, I think, probably does contribute a little bit to that. If you had the help text, you would see revealed, you would see engages, and you would at least recognize that there's a distinction. If you just see a keyword, you're not necessarily going to immediately realize this keyword has a different condition on it than this other keyword. As part of what this discussion about player bandwidth, I think that's one of those things that can tax player bandwidth a little bit, because you have to keep straight what the conditions of all these different things that look kind of the same are. I mean, especially because in the normal sequence of the game, deal a minion out, you reveal the minion, okay, apply all the keywords. That's natural. But then you have something that happens that's a little bit different, and then you have to suddenly remember, oh, is this one of those keywords that matters if I reveal it versus if I put it into play? That whole distinction between reveal and put into play is already a little bit hard to get for a lot of people. And then the idea that they're going to have to remember it, and they have to remember exact text of these keywords to know which situation they're in. It creates an unfortunate situation where you have to remember the exact text. No, does it imply in this slightly different than normal situation?
Yeah, I think that sums it up. Everything you said there, I think, sums up the overall situation in terms of unwrapping these keywords for players. I think we've said everything we want to say about keywords and player bandwidth. Just to kind of recap, the most difficult ones and just cover how to actually resolve some of these keywords. We start from insight. When a card with the insight keyword is revealed, place X threat on the main scheme. So the difficulty most players had with this is knowing whether or not it should fire. It will only fire when it's revealed. And to determine that, the card ability will usually tell you if that card is being revealed. Right, Theo? Or if it's being put into play.
Except for, of course, you're always revealing the card. The normal situation is you reveal a card. If a card ability causes you to put another encounter card into play in some fashion, you need to read the ability closely enough to see if it says reveal or put into play.
Exactly. And if it says put into play, then you don't have to worry about the insight.
Quick Strike, as mentioned, has come up a lot.
Oh, well, that's another one that that did come up, especially in the Zola, because you're always, you know, getting those minions. So let's cover that one. So Quick Strike is the same thing with Quick Strike.
Sure. So Quick Strike applies whenever a minion engages you,
your hero,
which means that it will apply whether you reveal the minion or put it into play, because you've engaged the minion under either circumstance. It also applies if you, for example, play Get Over Here with Ariel. Will get quick-striked by that minion.
To be clear, that is if and only if it engages your hero form. If it engages your alter ego form, a quick-strike will not resolve. To close out with a listener question, I had a listener, Mr. Elf, on the Discord, is asking, since we have a decent-sized card pool now, I would like to inquire, what is your personal favorite card for each of the four aspects? I'll answer first. For Justice, Clear the Area is probably my favorite card. I just love the design. Move two, if the last two from a scheme or any scheme, you get a card that's just brilliant. I love it. Aggro, toe-to-toe. I think it's a really interesting card. Leadership, I love Black Knight. I love that he has piercing. It gives me a way to deal with those tough cards. And for protection, Second Wind. I love putting like just one copy of Second Wind in a hero that has like 9 HP. Always feels good.
Yeah, so for me, Aggression, I picked Chase Them Down as my favorite card. It's one of those cards that just feels right in Aggression. You know, it's you defeated a minion, and then you get to do this super cool free thwarting of two. Probably also biased slightly because of how great it is to run in Ms. Marvel. For Justice is, I think, my favorite card there. Just the ability to that big four fort and really just clear the board just feels it feels like what Justice is meant to do. Oh no, we have three side schemes. What are we going to do? Well, I have 2-4 Justices, so those are done. You know, it's very much the part of that I like about having a Justice player in the game is the ability to just really deal with the threat. For leadership, Maria Hill is my favorite card there. That interaction of just letting everybody draw a card feels so good. So nice to play it and just get in that situation. And for protection, my favorite card has to be Unflappable. The way that it rewards you for doing what protection really should be about, which is defending. You know, as great as it can be to play a non-defending protection deck or a deck that just stuns the enemy all the time, Unflappable feels like it rewards protection for what protection should be. This ability to defend the villain, cancel all his damage, never take any damage, and handle that side of the game. So those are my choices.
I think my choices probably say quite a lot about me as a player. And I was tempted to go with Power Offs for all four. But the ones I went with in the end is Hawk Ally for Aggression. I just love the way Hawk Ally plays. That random draw to see what extra damage he does or whether he's going to discard himself. It's just brilliant. For Justice, I went with Beatcop. I think it's probably one of the best cards in the game at the moment. Being able to just, if you can get two or three of them out, you can effectively thwart for two or three every single round and just completely shut down the villain's ability to progress his scheme, and then if a big minion comes out, you can just sacrifice a Beatcop to get rid of it. Yeah, it's just really well designed, that card. Then for leadership, I went with Goliath. hits really hard. I like big hitting allies. And then for protection, I went with energy barrier. And that sort of is a reflection of my Magic the Gathering days. I was a burn player. I like doing little bits of damage, and especially if I can turn my opponents or the villains' attacks against them and just ping off little bits of damage every now and again. I love that kind of card.
All right, awesome. Thanks, guys. And just as addressing the audience for a sec, let us know what you thought about the keywords. Were there too many? Did you have a hard time peeling away the layers of the keyword rules? And yeah, let us know at the Card Text Podcast Gmail. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks for coming.
We hope that was informative. Thanks to Kennedy Hawk and everyone at Marvel Champions Monthly for graciously hosting us. Tune in for our next episode next month on the latest rulings, news, and rules conundrums. Thanks to my distinguished colleagues, Theo Rell and Scott, for joining. And remember, when you would rather not read the rules reference, listen to the card text instead.